And I'd like you to open not to Philippians, because we finished that book last week. I'd like you to open up to the Psalms. Go to the Psalms. I think everybody knows the book of Psalms, Tehillim. We're starting a new series. You may or may not have seen the new rack cards, as we call them. They're out in the lobby. On our table there. You can pick one up after service, pick a few of them up for family and friends. But this is going to be really fun, and I think a lot of educational as well as enriching study as we go through Tehillim, the book of Psalms. There's a lot of information on this side of the rack card. I encourage you to get it, take a look at it. Some of it I'm going to be talking about today as we intro the book, but as we go through week after week, I know we're going to be blessed because we come to one of the most quoted, most loved books of the Bible. You know, the Psalms is the most quoted book in the Brit Chadashah. Did you know that? In the New Covenant Scriptures. The most quoted book of any book of the Bible. And it's called Tehillim in Hebrew, and it's an amazing book. Today, what I'm going to do is give an introduction to the book of Psalms and get us excited about going through this awesome study. We're going to be talking about And Psalms is such a varied collection. We have a hard time absorbing and understanding what it's all about. Why was it written? Why were they written, these 150 collections of Scripture? So I'm going to kind of go through quickly. We're going to be, of course, citing Scripture as we go through in this introduction to Psalms. Who wrote the Psalms and when? That's the first question we have to ask. Now, it's pretty ancient. There's actually a variety of authors. Almost half of the 150 Psalms, almost half of them are attributed to King David. And many of you know that, right? You go in the Psalms, and in your Bibles, probably it says a Psalm of David, right? Have you seen that before? 73 of the 150 Psalms are attributed to David. Now, the Talmud records that 103 Psalms are of David. And Midrash Tehillim, which is a medieval Jewish commentary on the book of Psalms, says this: Moses gave Israel the five books of the Torah, and correspondingly, David gave them the five books of Psalms, end quote. Which means all of the Psalms, whether David wrote some of them or all of them, they're sort of attributed to David. They're like the collection of David. And we know why. David was a worshiper of God. David played the harp. We know this from Scripture. David loved to sing psalms. So even if he didn't write all of the books or most of the books, they're really attributed to King David in a lot of ways. And David, of course, is associated with praise and worship to God. So too are the psalms associated with praise and worship to God. If we look at the other traditionally understood authors of the book of Psalms, and you will see it as you go through, we see people like Asaph, A-S-A-P-H, who is a contemporary of David. We see people like the sons of Korah, right? You've seen that before. They have several psalms. Did you know that all of those people were Levites? But more specifically, all of those people would have been assigned with their Levitical division to the music ministry in the temple. When we think of Levites, we think of priests, but not all Levites were in there ministering and doing the sacrifices and doing the various things of taking care of the tabernacle, then the temple, or actually offering the sacrifices. There were some of the Levites that were assigned to be part of the music ministry, and there was music going on in the tabernacle and the temple. In fact, the word psalms means praises. That's the translation of the word psalms. There's a couple of terms that you may see if you look at the Hebrew for the book of Psalms. One is mizmor. That's a Hebrew word for psalms that you find frequently. If you look at the text in any one of the psalms, it says a mizmor, a psalm. That translates as directly as to something sung. But the book is called Tehillim. Tehillim also means praises. It's plural. These psalms were meant to be a collection of songs praising God. And that's what we know them traditionally to be, among other things. You also will know that a lot of the psalms, at the end of them or between them, they have a musical notation that says Selah, if you've ever noticed that. Selah is a musical, it's an ancient musical term, and it means to pause. So whenever you see Selah, there's a pause in the song, or there's a pause in the singing that the priest would do. Now, let's quickly look at the division of the book. If you have your Tehillim rack card, you'll see that the Psalms are divided up into five books. And that is how they were organized. The division also exists in many of your English Bibles. It may say book two before, you know, Psalm 42. This division is interesting, and they're grouped that way for particular reasons. Now, if you look at every time a book ends in the five books of the Psalms, there is what we would commonly call a doxology at the end, and it's the same for every one of, let's say, the first four books. At the end of every one of the first four books, there's a doxology that ends with something that says, "Praise God from everlasting to everlasting." That's in every single end break of every book, except for the last book, book five. And the reason why that is the case is book five ends with Psalm 150, and Psalm 150 is entirely about praising God. So you have this idea of praising God and praising God from everlasting to everlasting. It's true that the Psalms are a collection, and they are not necessarily written in a particular order. However, when we look at the five books, they correspond to the five books of Torah. And this is kind of important to note here. The sages teach us that the confirmation of that is because Psalm number one, if you look at Psalm number one, what is it about? It's about the Word of God. It's specifically about the Torah. And so there's this correlation, or there's a parallel to Torah. You know how like John chapter 1 is a parallel of Genesis chapter 1. In many ways, the collection of the Psalms into the five books is a parallel of the five books of the Torah. And there's other little things that we can get into as we go through. But the overall theme here is book 1, which is the first 41 Psalms, Psalm 1 through 41. That is, if you look at your rack card, that describes personal psalms. These are psalms between God and man, and they're of a personal nature. We can see that through psalms like Psalm 23, when the person is walking through the valley of the shadow of death. These are personal psalms between God and man. The second book talks of deliverance and hope for the future kingdom of God, and you'll see that within the collection of the second book of Psalms. The third collection is about God and Israel, the Jewish people, his chosen nation. And interestingly, you see that in throughout the book three. Now, some scholars will say that there's messianic links in book three. And there actually is, if you go through it, there are, and if you look at your rack card, you can see that. There is a prophetic picture of Messiah Yeshua, specifically his first coming, because I won't totally give it away, but Psalm 89, the last psalm in book 3, is all about the king who comes being cut off abruptly. So you can see there's a prophetic piece here going on with all of these psalms. And then Psalm 4, or book 4, is what we call the wilderness psalms. And that begins with Psalm 90, which is the only psalm attributed to Moses. And we know Moses brought the children of Israel through the wilderness. And after the king is cut off in Psalm 89, there's a period in the wilderness period, much like the last 2,000 years after Yeshua has been cut off 2,000 years ago. So there's all of this stuff going on within the Psalms, so much more than just a collection of, you know, songs that we sing. And then, of course, book 5, the final book, is a collection of psalms of liberation and thanksgiving to God for redeeming us, for liberating us as a people and as mankind. The Psalms are not written in a chronological order, but they are rather a collection of Hebrew poetry. Remember, they're written in Hebrew, not English. And a lot of times in our English translations, it doesn't do it justice. But if you look at Hebrew poetry, it's not like English poetry, or, you know, the poetry we think of that has all this very easy rhyme to it. Hebrew poetry is not like that. In Hebrew poetry, we have repetition. We have parallelism. One line will say one thing, and the next line will say it, but it'll say it in a different way. We see this throughout the books of the Psalms. And the Psalms were written long ago, much longer than before Yeshua, hundreds of years before Yeshua. The traditional Jewish understanding is that in the first temple, not the second temple, in the first temple, which was erected around 1000 BCE, so we're talking 3000 years ago, it is said, it is documented that the Psalms were sung in the temple by the priests, along with the Shema, as they offered up the sacrifices three times a day. You know, all that we do here with the synagogue and our services mimics the temple and the tabernacle. We don't have a temple and tabernacle today. We have an ark that contains the Torah scrolls, much like the ark in the old temple and tabernacle contained the Ten Commandments on the two stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. But everything that we do, even the times of our services, this is the morning service time. We have a service at this time mimicking the sacrifice times. And so at those three times of the day, morning, noon, and night, we had the priests going into the temple. They were chanting the Shema. They were chanting the Psalms as they offered sacrifices to God. So it's ancient. These are ancient writings. But the book that we have, which is called Tehillim, the book of Psalms, in its final form, was most likely put together about 500 BCE. Most likely, when Ezra and the exiles returned from Babylon and the dawn of what we call the Second Temple period, which was also the period that Yeshua lived. The Psalms are sung in every type of Jewish service or event that we ever have. Shabbat services, every holiday service, we're coming up on Passover, you'll notice in the Haggadah, Psalms. And you'll notice in our Siddur, Psalms. The Psalms are sung throughout the life cycle of Judaism for a Brit Milah, a circumcision ceremony. Traditionally, you cite and read Psalm 65 and 119 as an example. The Psalms are throughout a wedding ceremony. If you've ever been to a Jewish wedding ceremony, there's all sorts of references to Psalms. And of course, at a funeral procession, the Psalms are said, specifically Psalm 91, but others. In the house of a mourner, sitting Shiva, or mourning for a loved one that's passed on, Psalm 49 and other Psalms are said. So in all occasions, in every season of life, the Psalms are the soundtrack to our life, right? The songs that we would sing throughout all of life's events. And that's really how the Psalms are meant to be understood. A collection of scripture praising and exalting God throughout every season of life. Now, I want you to turn with me, not to the beginning, I want you to turn with me right to the end, all the way to the end of the book of Psalms. I want you to go to Psalm 150, and I want you to go to the very last verse. So, and don't worry, this isn't like reading Hebrew. We're not going to go backwards to forwards through all the Psalms. But I'm just going to show you something here as we begin. Psalm 150, verse 6, the very last verse of the very last chapter of the very last book of the book of Psalms. Psalm 150, verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Okay? That simple statement is so powerful, and it really captures the essence of all of the Psalms. They were meant to give us words when we have no words. They were meant to utter praise to God and to give Him glory. Psalm 96, let's go there. Psalm 96, verses 1 through 4. I'm going to be referencing, obviously, a lot of Psalms today, going through how the Psalms are the soundtrack to our life. Every occurrence, every situation you find you're in, the highs, the lows, the midpoints of your life, there's a soundtrack to that of the Psalms. Okay? Psalm 96, 1 through 4. "Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Tell of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous works among the peoples. For great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." We've read that many times before. The Psalms not only praise God, but they lead us. They instruct us to praise God. They teach us what to do. Now, many of you, you're sitting there in the seats. If you're watching online, you may even have it too. We have our siddurs with us, right? And in our siddurs, you'll notice every week we go through, the siddur is our guide it's a prayer service guide, right? It's like a hymn book for us. And it leads us through ancient prayers and ancient liturgy, which is, as I've mentioned many times, vast majority of it's just pure scripture. And a lot of it is Psalms. In the Siddur, in our service prayer book, at the very first part of the service on Saturday morning, on Shabbat morning, when it is said, when the worshiper comes into the courts of the Lord, of the temple, we have, at the very beginning of the service, the Psalms of Praise, or the Songs of Praise. We call it Pizuki de Zimra. You'll see it in your Siddurs. And each week when we open the service, we chant the Baruch Sheamar, which is a collection of blessings to God. You can read the paragraph, Baruch Sheamar. I don't remember what page it's on. It's in every Siddur known to man, and it's in our Siddurs. And the Pizuki de Zimra at the beginning is the Baruch Sheamar. Now, I want you to listen to this quote from the Baruch Sheamar that's in our Siddurs. Quote, Lord our God, we give you praise through the songs of David. We talked about that a minute ago. Your servant, because the entire book can be attributed to David. Through his hymns and psalms, we will exalt and honor and glorify you, end quote. That's at the very first part of our service. We're referencing the Psalms. It's all about praising God. When we praise him, what do? We honor him. When we praise him, we exalt him. When we praise him, we acknowledge that he is God in our lives and of our lives. When you're praising him, we're not praising ourselves. We're not praising other people in the world. We're praising the Holy One of Israel. Turn to Psalm 71, verse 8. Listen to this. My mouth is filled with your praise, talking about the praise of God, and with your glory all the day. There's an association with praise, exaltation, glory. It's all giving God the praise. And the Psalms, like I mentioned before, are meant to be a soundtrack to our lives. We praise him in every season of our lives, every circumstance. We give him glory no matter what's going on because he is God and he is faithful. Psalm 115, verse 1. Let's turn there. Psalm 115, verse 1. Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. For the sake of your steadfast love, and your faithfulness. Now that's just a simple and quick collection of psalms that relate to this idea of praising God. Point number one in our message, the psalms glorify and praise the Lord. It's the best way, the best words that we have, that man has to go and read about praising God and exalting Hashem, exalting the King. Now I want you to turn to Psalm number three, Psalm three. Psalm 3, we read this, we actually have a song that's directly based from Psalm 3. But Thou, O Lord, is the name of the song. Psalm 3, 1 through 4. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is now no salvation for him in God. Selah. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me, from his holy hill, Selah. The Psalms are much more than just praises. When we stop at just the idea that they're songs and they're praises to God, we don't go into the depth that we need to go in with understanding Psalms as scripture. Because they're much more than, God, you're a deity, I worship you, I praise you. It's much more than that. It is that, but it's much more than that. Because God is a personal God. There's a connection that we can have with God. He's not just some far-off God or deity that we don't want to anger, or he's going to come down with the lightning bolt, you know? It's much more personal than that. God is involved in our lives or wants to be involved in our lives, each of us personally. He wants us to come to him, and he wants us to lean on him. Psalm 55. Psalm 55, verse 16. Here's an example of that. But I call to God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, how coincidental. Those are the three times of the sacrifices. Evening and morning and noon, I utter my complaint and I moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. It doesn't get more personal than that, right? This is a worshiper pleading, crying out to God, probably crying as they're writing this or they're singing this or they're saying this to God. He's crying out in a very personal way. God wants our praises, but he also wants our tears at times. He wants us to come to him on our knees, on our face. He wants us to come to him when we're happy, and he wants us to come to him when we're sad, when we're despondent, when we don't know what to do, and when we want to complain, when we want to moan, and he hears our voice, is what the Bible says. This is a personal interaction with God. Also, we can see it collectively. Now, the Psalms are meant to be personal connections. But as I've mentioned before, the Siddur. When you look at the Siddur, the language of the Siddur is not just God, I'm coming to you, I, right? It's we are coming to you, God. There's an idea of community and collective coming together to God. This is what Judaism is all about. It's anachnu, we, you know, not ani, I, all the time. And when we have this idea of collective community, we read things that were meant to be said and sung and understood for all Israel. Psalm 80. Let's turn there. We have this Psalm of Asaph, and it's referring to specifically to God and his people Israel collectively. Psalm 80, 1 through 2. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock. You who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh. Stir up your might and come and save us. This is Israel crying out. What do we have since October 7th in Israel? They're crying out for God to save them. And God has miraculously delivered his people on a couple of occasions, right? Since October 7th in the land, in Eretz Israel. God continues to redeem and collectively save his people, even throughout the diaspora, which is where we are. This is just one example of the collective nature of the Psalms. But sometimes it's personal. Sometimes it's just between you and God in your prayer closet or completely alone. I want you to turn with me to probably the most personal psalm of all, Psalm 51. Many of you have read Psalm 51 and you understand the context. This is as personal as it gets with God and man. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. He's saying, forgive me of my sins. Who's saying that? Well, the original author was King David. It's attributed to David. King David is crying out to God for forgiveness. Why is he crying out to God for forgiveness? This particular psalm, it said, was written in the context of David having to flee for his life from his son Absalom. It doesn't get any sadder than that. Remember in Scripture when he leaves, in the Samuel books, in the Kings books, he leaves, he has to flee the city. He's humiliated. He has nothing left. Everything seems lost. But also, he's crying out to God because of the sin that he does towards Bathsheba, or with Bathsheba. Remember that? Actually, that's specifically what this psalm is. Yeah, this psalm is, he's crying out after he sins with Bathsheba. He has Bathsheba's husband basically killed, and then he takes Bathsheba as his wife. You don't get any badder. You don't get any worser. You don't get any more sinful than King David at that point in his life. And the prophet Nathan comes to him. I don't know, I was thinking of Absalom because I think that was last week. That was a low point. That's another low point in the Psalms, by the way. But this one is about Bathsheba. David is totally in sin, just kind of going around doing his thing. And then prophet Nathan comes in. There's that big story. And basically, Nathan rebukes him in the name of the Lord for his sin. And he comes to God and he cries out to God and he says, I have sinned before you. We can then, in turn, come to God. You know, we can come to God when we screw up. And we can say, God, I screwed up. I wronged you. I sinned against man. I sinned against you. When somebody wrongs us, we could come to God in this way. In any event and in any season, the Psalms give voice to whatever we're going through. Point number two, the Psalms give voice to our interactions with God. There is no interaction we can have with God that is not somehow mentioned or referred to in the Psalms. Everything is in there. for us, the soundtrack of our lives, right? Let's continue. Psalm 18. Go to Psalm 18, verse 30. This God, verse 30 here of Psalm 18, this God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all those who take refuge in him. The Psalms tell us who God is. Depending upon whom you ask in the world, even sometimes in believing circles, people will say, oh, I know who God is, and they'll tell you. They might tell you based on their experiences with God. They might tell you based on their hurts. They might tell you based on their bitterness with God, whatever. They're going to have all these reactions of who God is. He could be a loving God or a fiery dictator, right? The evil, you know, he's going to zap you if you get out of line. This is what the typical Old Testament view of God is. It's important to define God, though, by not what we think, by not what the world says, by not what we feel God is, but by what his word says, and no better place than the book of Psalms to understand who God is. Psalm 23, verses 1, 2, and 3. Who is God? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. That's who God is. Psalm 147. I'll give you a second to go there. I know it's a long book. Psalm 147, verse 3. Who is God? Well, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. That's who he is. That's not all who he is, though. Now go to Psalm 47. I'm giving you a lot of exercise here. Psalm 47, because it's all over the place. We're kind of going through a smattering of psalms. We're going through many of the 150 psalms here and there to give you an idea about all of these aspects of God. Psalm 47, verse 2, we can't forget this. For the Lord, the Most High, is to be feared, a great God over all the earth. You know, God is our friend. He's our buddy. But he's also not, right? He's also a king that is to be feared, that is not to be crossed, a great king over all the earth, one who gives us breath and can withhold breath from us, one who created the heavens and the earth, created the hearts of man, but he's all powerful. But the point here is that in all of these psalms, we see just a small example. And point number three is the Psalms reveal the nature of God. You want to know who God is? Open up the Psalms and start reading. The Psalms reveal the nature of our God. So you see how important this book is for us. This book that is in every season gives us understanding of God. Now, one last point, and I don't want to go on through the book or start the book without mentioning this last point, because this is really, we have to see this too. There's a prophetic element to the book of Psalms. It's meant to be prophecy as well. You know, we think of, oh, well, the book of Daniel is prophecy, the book of Ezekiel is prophecy, the book of Revelation is prophecy. Yes. But the book of Psalms is also prophetic. There's a lot of talk within the book of Psalms of the Mashiach, the Messiah, of a deliverance, of a redemption for Israel and for all mankind. Of salvation. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will tell of your decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son, capital S. Today I have begotten you. That's a messianic verse right there. It's prophetic. This was written, like I said, and this was cataloged and canonized 400 to 500 years before Yeshua. But most likely that psalm was written even before that. This is known to be a messianic psalm, as is Psalm 22. Turn to Psalm 22 with me. I'm going to read a couple of verses here. Start with verse 1. Psalm 22, verse 1. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Yeshua said that when he was on the cross, when he was on the tree. There's that famous reference in the book, Lama Lama, right? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? If we drop down to verse 16 of Psalm 22, this same person is going through this. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. This is a prophetic picture of Yeshua with the Roman soldiers. They were stripping him of his garments. They pierced his hands and feet as he was crucified. This is obviously talking about the Messiah who would be cut off, the suffering servant. Isaiah 53 speaks a lot about him. But all of these psalms we're going to be going through and seeing, there's messianic references here. Let's turn to Psalm 110, the last reference we have of this, just for today, of the messianic understanding. Psalm 110, verses 1, 2, 3, and 4. The Lord says to my Lord, let me stop right there. L-O-R-D is capitalized because that's the tetragrammaton, the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh in the Hebrew. So the Lord says to my Lord, this is David speaking, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. So Mashiach will sit at the right hand of God the Father. The Lord sends forth from Zion your mighty scepter. Rule in the midst of your enemies. The scepter is a very messianic reference as well. Verse 3, your people will offer themselves freely on the day of your power in holy garments. From the womb of the morning, the dew of your youth will be yours. And verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest together to forever after the order of Melchizedek. You may remember that. It's heavily quoted from in the Brit Hadashah, especially in the book of Hebrews. We just went through the book of Hebrews. I'm actually speaking at a church tomorrow. They're starting the book of Hebrews. They invited me to come and to speak on the link between the Old and New Covenants, right? The Old and New Testaments, and how it's one book, one seamless book, and how the understanding of Yeshua as a Messianic King is throughout all of Scripture, from all the way back in Genesis chapter 3 to all the way to Revelation and everywhere in between, including Psalm 110. It's a very Messianic Psalm. You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. That is obviously attributed to Yeshua. The psalm speaks of a Messiah who will come not from the tribe of Levi or the order of Levi, but the order of Melchizedek, the prince of righteousness, the king of righteousness. Point number 4, our last point today, the psalms point us to Messiah Yeshua. They point us to Mashiach. One commentary on the psalms that I read said this, quote, the Psalms are to be read as God's instructions to the faithful, end quote. That's you and I. We're the faithful. We're following God. We're attempting to follow God in our lives as a congregation. The Psalms is a soundtrack to our lives, but it also is to be read as God's instructions. What does instruction mean? Torah. Torah is instruction. So the Psalms have these things that speak about every part of our lives, the highs, the lows, the coming deliverance, the Messiah. They tell us who God is, who we are in relation to God. It speaks about every aspect of what we have to relate to with God. They glorify and praise God. You can find anything and everything in the Psalms. And as we go through them, my prayer is that you would let the Lord speak to you in every Psalm and every passage and every understanding that we have, that let the Lord bring you deeper past just the praise stuff. This is all, it's all praise, but there's deeper elements in here. Let these words minister to you, and I'm going to let them minister to me as we go through and we really listen to what God is saying to us through Tehillim, the book of Psalms. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, all of your word. We thank you for every book that you've put in. We have canonized in your word, the word of God. We thank you for your Torah, the writings, the prophets. We thank you for the Brit Hadashah and the gospel accounts and the letters and the revelation, everything, Lord God. But we thank you because throughout it all, we see the Psalms. They pop up everywhere, Lord. May this study enrich our faith, grow our walk with you and our faith with you. As we read these psalms about being in the lowest depths of valleys in Psalm 23 and in the highest heights in other psalms, may this speak to us. May we recall them, Lord God, as we go about and we live our lives. May they minister to us and may they mature us in our faith and in our walk with you, God. We thank you. We praise you for this wonderful book and for all scripture today and every day. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. We're going to close our service, and as we close, I'm going to walk over to the piano, because you could turn in your siddurs to Adon Olam, pages 110 and 111. Let's sing Adon Olam together.
Adon Olam Asher Malach Beterem Kol Yitzir Nivra Le'ed Nasa Bechevzo Kol Azai Melech Shemo nikra ve'yachare kichlot hakol levado yimloch nora ve'hu haya ve'hu hove ve'hu yiye betifara ve'hu echad v'chein sheni lehamshilo lehachbira beli reshit beli tachlit elo haos v'hamizra behu eli v'chai goeli Vetzor chefli betzahara Ehu nisi umanosli Menat kosi beyom ekra Beyado afkid rochi Berishan ve'yaira ve'imrochi gebiati Adonai mi ve'lo'ira.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. You can turn to pages 112 and 113. We're going to bless the Lord and thank him for this food that he's provided as we close our service. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam borei pri hagafen. Amen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine.
Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread from the earth. Thank you, Lord. Shabbat shalom, everyone. Please join us in our community center next door for some Kiddush time. If you need prayer, you can come up here. Shabbat shalom and Shavua tov.